2AC Mornings, and we're joined now by not only the New South Wales ACT General Practitioner of the Year, but now the RAC GP, Australian GP of the Year. He is the Practice Principal of the Bega Valley Medical Practice and the GP Liaison Officer for the Far South Coast region. Among other things, he's also been a family GP right here in Bega for the last 25 years. It is Dr. Duncan McKinnon. Good morning, Dr. McKinnon.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. This award, it's for a GP that shown outstanding commitment to the general practice profession, excellence in primary healthcare, and played a huge role in training and continuing professional development. What does winning the award mean to you?
Look, it's an absolute honour to be recognised by your peers in this way. It's mostly undeserved, I have to say, and I don't know a GP out there who isn't doing their best, doing their utmost to look after their own community.
2020 certainly had its challenges. Tell us a little bit about what you have achieved in the last 12 months that has resulted in you being awarded with the Australian GP of the Year.
It has been a challenging year, and sometimes you just have to take initiative and step up to the mark. The integration between the health service, that's the LHD, and primary care really isn't a strong point of New South Wales Health. And in certain circumstances, as we've had this year, we've had disaster upon disaster, then some of those relationships have to change and have to improve, and so there's the coordination and communication between the two. So fortunately, this year, we were able to network with our other colleagues, both locally here and down south in Murrumbula, and our pharmacy colleagues, and provide care for the residents and the tourists of the Bega Valley during the bushfire period. It was a very stressful time for everyone involved, and it was just really great to be able to coordinate the efforts that we could achieve and actually improve the care of people in the evacuation centres. Also, earlier this year, we were able to facilitate, with the help of Rotary, getting hand sanitising stations into the large supermarket areas where people would be funneling through if it had come to the point where most businesses and services had been closed. So that's about our achievements for this year, and that's enough.
Absolutely, and you summarise it there fairly quickly, but I think there's a lot more that went into it. Like you mentioned, during the bushfires, you coordinated the local health response, among other things. Post-bushfires, you fought strongly for increased funding and support for counselling services. Can you tell us a little bit about that and you know, how people might be feeling as well heading into summer this year?
Yeah, look, it's still a raw subject. And unfortunately, you know, people are being triggered by just by the fact that this is the last day of spring and summer starts tomorrow. Every kind of person in the valley, I think, is aware of what happened last year. And, you know, when we have super hot days and hot winds, it's inevitable that people do think back to recent history. And again, we were primed with this, you know, 2 years ago with the Tathra bushfires. So there's a whole cohort of people who have lived kind of through this recent experience twice, really. So mental health is a massive issue. COVID hasn't helped in terms of us needing to socially isolate. It hasn't helped businesses, many businesses, and people have lost employment. So there are a lot of stresses, extra stresses that people have to deal with. And all of that, of course, impacts mental health. It impacts families and relationships. And unfortunately, you know, things like drinking escalate, and so does domestic violence. And so all of those things make a perfect storm, really. So our mental health care workers have been flogged this year, and they've been doing a fantastic job. But even them themselves have been, you know, subject to the same pressures everyone else has. And people forget that our mental health workers are our community members, and just as we are. And so we need to spare a thought for them as well.
Absolutely. And then, of course, COVID-19 popped its head up, which led to a whole bunch of new challenges just as we were, you know, trying to go through that recovery phase after the bushfires. New challenges, especially for those of you in the medical industry. Tell us about some of those challenges and how you responded.
Yeah, well, look, the twofold. One is I work as an anaesthetist at Southeast Regional, so there was an enormous amount of work that went into preparing the hospital for the tsunami of patients that we thought we were going to inherit, as happened around the rest of the world. And that was no mean feat, and took a lot of effort and resource. And the hospital, I have to say, in the LHD, were very prepared when the time came. But there are other issues that we need to be prepared for, and that is, as you know, the residential aged care facilities. The LHD, thankfully, has been tasked by New South Wales Health only in the last 2 months to address the issues that residential aged care facilities might face, and to help support them in their preparation and in their planning and in their stock. Because, you know, PPE, personal protective equipment, has been hard to get up until this point. So the LHD has done a lot of work with those nursing homes to ensure that if and when there's a COVID outbreak, people and residents are cared for respectfully and well, and protected from the worst ravages of that disease. The other challenge we've got, of course, is the vaccination program, which we are just starting to talk about, really. And fortunately, we'll have the benefit of watching what happens in the UK and the US and in other countries like Russia as we watch their vaccination programs, and we can learn from that. And I think we learnt from the rest of the world at the beginning of this year too, in how we did our social contact and tracing and isolation. So I think we're in a fortunate position, and I'm feeling very positive about how we're going to manage this potential pandemic in Australia.
We're speaking with the Australian GP of the Year, Dr. Duncan McKinnon, who is a Bega local. Dr. McKinnon, you obviously have a lot of experience. What would be your advice to young doctors, maybe student doctors, or young people considering a career as a GP?
Look, I think, you know, when you do medicine, you're generic, and you could choose any kind of pathway, but it doesn't really matter as long as you're passionate about what you do. And I think that's the critical thing. You absolutely have to be passionate about it, because if you're not, it will just eat away at you. So to be a GP, I think you really need to find it really hard to choose a specialty, because you like them all. And I think the best thing you can do is gain that experience before you leave the hospital system. So spend that time getting that exposure, learning about diseases, but also importantly about people's how they heal and the natural history of that disease process, and that puts you in good stead for the kind of work that you would be prepared to do in your community.
Dr. McKinnon, anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
I think I've said enough.
Well, look, there's still plenty of challenges that lay ahead for residents on the South Coast, but I, for one, am glad we've got the Australian GP of the Year looking after us. Dr. McKinnon, congratulations again, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
2020 Australian GP of the Year and Bega's very own Dr. Duncan McKinnon joining us there on 2EC.